The Rebel Leadership Podcast, a refreshing take on authentic leadership told through real stories. Let's smash the status quo and change how leaders lead once and for all. Teams are incredibly complex to build, to inspire, to coach, to lead. So we decided to take a break from the day-to-day and reflect back on one of our highest performing teams at Rebel Interactive Group, New Business. Brent Tindall, he's the CEO and owner of Rebel Interactive Group, and Joe Martin, the Senior Director of Business Development at Rebel, sit down with me to break down the anatomy of our high-performing new business team. Everything from constant feedback to live coaching, communication formats and trust, team culture and authenticity. The list goes on. Leaders of all industries can apply the learnings on this episode to whichever team they lead or aspire to lead. Listen, reflect, and embrace your next aha moment.
This may take a minute. You need to be serious.
Very serious. This is a very serious podcast.
Serious is not my forte. As you know.
So a couple weeks ago at a big team meeting, we tried to uncover a topic that's been very important to us as we build up our agency. And that topic is around how you build a high-performing team. And we started to look within our own business to reflect a little bit on places where we've been extremely successful. One of those places has been our new business team. So let's break it down. Give me some reasons why the new business team here is such a high-functioning team at its core.
I think it begins with the communication. I think it's the constant feedback. I also think it's the, when I say constant feedback, not only internal from myself and Joe and others, but we are given real-time feedback when we're talking with our customers 15, 20, 30, 40, 50 times a day, right? They are with their facial expressions, with the words they choose, they are opting in and opting out of what we say in real time. And if you're paying attention, and we are, and we definitely coach the listening, the watching, to the spoken and the unspoken, they are in real time validating concepts or rejecting, you know, ideas. And we are documenting, learning, communicating, and on the fly shifting what we say as we go, but just by watching what they say. So because we're given this real-time feedback, it's like an asset test. You know immediately if concept A or idea way of saying something is going to work or not work. And then we pass that amongst each other really, really fast and adopt the approach.
How?
We change the way we say it. We change who says it. We'll change the visual that represents it. We'll change the way we tell the story. All of that is evolving as we watch how the content that we're talking about is being consumed. And the other thing the team does super duper well now, Joe, as you know, is if one of us doesn't believe that the story that is being fed is being consumed and processed, the other jumps in and begins to tell it from another point of view. And it's a bit of good point, Joe. I want to add to that. You know, I noticed when we're explaining it until we feel like, okay, we've got mind share with the customer, with the prospect. Now we can move on to the next point, right? And that's happening in real time. A lot of that is happening when we're in the room, we're looking at each other, you know, going on mute quickly, passing information, but it's also happening virtually by the way we share information digitally. So we're all on the same page.
Yeah. The first word I thought of was trust. Mm-hmm. So it's trust between us, not only outside of the client conversation in terms of sharing thoughts on strategy, execution, timetables, best practices, way to talk about services, solutions. Trust that the client has with us, the trust we're able to build in the room because we're real, we're having conversations, and it's very natural. We built the trust over here, so when we're in front of the client and we have those conversations, hey, let me jump in, let me add on that, they believe it, and it, you know, it's all to their benefit ultimately. And I like what you talked about with respect to the real-time feedback we get. What you just described is it's all data input. You know, it's off the page, but it's all data points that we get. We get such a high volume of that, we're processing that data, we're making changes on the fly, so you're not going to read that in a Salesforce report, but you're going to adapt to that based on the conversation you just had, and you're going to then distribute that over here. And piggybacking off the trust, you're going to trust that the conversation I had with client X, the learnings I had are things you're going to be able to go immediately and activate and distributed over here to the other team players. I also want to add into that that I think there is a function of our team isn't that large. So speed of communication, you're usually hearing from the source, the answer, the feedback, good or bad, whatever it is. You're going to write from that person. So the speed of communication is critical that you might not get on a larger team, I'd imagine. And then further, you know, if you start to scale that out, and I also just want to talk about the amount of opportunities we're putting in front of ourselves. There's a speed and volume of the client conversation so that data is constantly fed. We're able to build this huge library of that real-time data, real-time feedback that, you know, if you start looking at your sales funnel and you're not ready for that kind of piece, you're missing out on that data input, and then you're not as good on the backside.
So let's talk about what we do with that data. So we get these pieces of feedback. Sometimes it's verbal, sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's a look. Sometimes they look distracted. They look at their phone. They disconnect. There's all sorts of pieces of data that you guys are talking about when it comes to new business calls. Mm-hmm. The first date. So what do you do from a leadership perspective with that data, and how do you use it to coach?
Yeah, I mean, sometimes we are literally coaching points in real time. You know, we'll go on mute, or we'll seed it by messaging, say this next, or make sure you reference X here. And, you know, we're watching for this cue, and so that we work this into the conversation, right? There's a level of trust, as Joe said, that, you know, we have each other's back with this stuff, that there might be seeing something that the other did not. And there's a reason for this information, right? So it's not forced. Like, you wouldn't go from talking about cars to talking about horses.
Right.
Right.
You're really listening.
Yeah. It's mm-hmm. There's connected. You said something, Joe, of course, that's super duper important when you're talking about this. This, we call it sales, but it really is not sales. We are having a conversation, and we coach having a conversation. You don't want to feel like you're being sold to. And any call you're on with any of our team, what you're basically doing is having a consulting session with us. We are dynamically problem solving yep. together with a little bit of an agenda to move the conversation toward the direction of, I guess you want one of these, huh? You know, and what's yeah. that going to look like to get you into one of these, right?
Or even you came to us talking about this, you really wanted it, but you actually need this over here. Yeah. And I'm not saying that that's what, you know, we think. You're telling, this is what it is. This is what you need, the direction you need to go. So I think the concept, I just want to say it out loud, is sort of the chair one, chair two, first chair, second chair approach to having any client-facing call. I think we've sort of established as a best practice, both on the front-end new business side as well as the kind of existing book of business, because that active listening skill, when you're trying to actively respond to somebody who's trying to provide you that feedback, whether it's good, bad, again, on the product, solution, service, they're expressing their challenges. How can I achieve this sales goal? How can I do XYZ, you know, you have to be on your toes ready to answer that. You might not be hearing some of those other pieces. So having a second chair, seeding information, sending you a link to a deliverable that you can reference, like that allows you to be dynamic, allows you to be natural. I think, again, has really elevated us as a team. And I think that's absolutely worth sort of highlighting.
So with this trust and communication, behind that is culture that's fueling it. Because you guys trust and love and respect each other, and the whole team does. And it's a really interesting dynamic of people that are not all the same person. And they're all from different experience levels and walks of life and ages and genders and all this stuff. So how do you build that team where trust just is on display on these calls that are so critical to our business's success?
When you're in the trenches with people in a game, and you talk about football, or you're in a big game, and you know, you have these chances to prove yourself to your teammate. You have your chance to come in and save them, come in and help them. And then they do the same to you in front of a client in a high stakes conversation where there's a business development opportunity, whatever it is, on the line. You have multiple chances to go help that person, or they help you. So I think you start building up this equity as a good team player. I think we are afforded the opportunity to have a lot of those chances, and it just so happens that the team we've built are stepping up and into that. Taking that step up is something that we talk about a lot, and so even if you join the team and you're not doing it right away, you know, we have people who maybe didn't do that or were a little bit hands off. I don't want to be that person. Now they are. They're jumping in, or they're willing to speak up when otherwise they might not in another situation. So I think having the cracks at the bat and seeing, you know, giving yourself an opportunity to be that person, be that support system, build that trust, you know, it just sets a foundation moving forward.
Yeah, I mean, unlike a lot of other places in the business, there is, because of the chair one, chair two, there is a support network built in that allows you to swing for the fences, knowing that if you get it wrong, there's somebody here who can coach back the point. So it allows, you know, for you to almost like ideate on the fly, right? And not necessarily worry about having to direct the conversation because there's someone here that can add points of value.
It's almost like constant risk reward.
Yeah.
It's this rush that happens on new business, and it's this constant feel of failure. It's like wins, losses, just like very micro and then macro.
That's exactly, what I'm talking about. Like I can take a swing and tell a really bad joke, and this person will be like, I'm sorry for that. You know, let's keep going. So I feel like that's sort of another opportunity there.
Well, there's another part of the team culture that is being their authentic self. And we've talked a lot about this from a Rebel leadership standpoint, that until your leaders are their true selves, people won't feel the ability to be that themselves. And so there's this dynamic on this team where they're seeing you be your true self while you still hold a high bar for them to aspire to. But we joke with them. We laugh with them. We eat cannolis together. We're ringing the bell after a big win. We're celebrating the team wins together and laughing at each other, cracking jokes. Like that whole part of it comes through on calls, regardless of which team that you're on.
Yeah, I mean, we encourage it, right? You know, you'll see in some cases it's fabricated, but you know, I will start a call while I'm waiting for the client to kind of, you know, come in on Zoom, and we'll just start talking about, you know, the Yankees and, you know,
how good they are,
you know, and not that part, but you know, and so that they hear dialogue going before they come on, right? Forcing it is the wrong word. Allowing that to happen.
Letting it happen, not so, being worried about
exactly.
It.
So they come in and they just literally usually just jump in. The Yankees, who likes the Yankees? You know, or you're right, what a great game last night.
You joined a call yesterday, and what were we talking about? We were on a call yesterday. Imagine, you know, four panels, talking head, right? We were all going around the room talking about what we're eating for lunch that day because we're all having a late lunch. And it just so happened we were all shoving food in our mouth right before we started the call. Bryn's like, what did I just join? You know, what is going on here? You know, one's eating a salad and I got leftover rice and then over here I'm doing that. And so in general, I mean, it's a perfect example of that, you know.
So what about the honesty and truth side of building a team culture where people feel like they can have the courage to say, I don't know what the fuck you're talking about, Bryn? Because there have been moments of this where you think they're clear on direction and you've learned the hard way where they're not clear on direction. And now they have this comfort zone to say, I don't know what you mean, clarify. Yeah. What role does that play in a high-performing team?
So we coach this constantly. You know, you can't coach this in real time because I can't say, hey, did you understand what I just said there to the prospect? And that we wouldn't do, right? But right afterwards, we'll talk through the strategy. Mm-hmm. You know, why did we take that in this direction? You know, and instead of answering it, just sort of coach it out, see if they can tell us why we did it. Or when we talked about said term, were you following that, right? And this is happening in real time because even if we're not in the same room, we'll message each other and say, let's Zoom or let's talk real quick. Regather, you know, did you see when they said this? We said this. This is the reason we said this. Did you see how they reacted when we said that? Did you watch their face? Did you see? And everybody is in agreement on this point. Yeah. The real time feedback, Joe, that we keep talking about, it is so micro and happening so fast, just like we're processing information. I'm watching you blink or not blink. I'm watching you nod or not blink. I'm watching you smile or not blink. I'm watching you swallow. I'm watching you yawn. I'm watching you cover your mouth. All of this is happening. All of it. And you're watching the engagement. Do they sit up on their chair? Do they start to talk? You know, all of this is telling a story in terms of how we interact, right?
Yep.
And we coach all of this.
It can be taught.
Yeah, it's all being
coached. Emotional intelligence.
Yeah,
and as long as you're paying attention and you know what to look for, you can build up that EQ like we talk about. Yeah. There's a quick story on the team of a young up-and-comer in her career, Gabriella, who used to listen to the direction that Bryn was giving her and say, yep, I understand. And then recently she has flourished because she got the courage to say, Bryn, love ya. Don't know what the hell you just asked me to do. And because of that, she's actually coaching you as a leader.
Yeah.
Because we have to understand when our words are falling on deaf ears, or we are not being clear enough based on where they are in their life stage. Maybe they don't understand the concept, or we assume that they do. And there's a lot of this like two-way street feedback that's actually happening that makes that team high performing.
Well, and that goes to the outcomes, which is your original question. What role does it have, you know, on a high performing team? And it's outcomes of maybe, you know, you're getting to the end faster, right? You're better able to understand each other in real time more quickly. That also speaks to the trust factor, right? I need to know, I don't understand what you're saying, right? So it's,
and trust that you're not going to put her down
exactly
for saying that.
Exactly. You know, say it in a different way, whatever that ends up being. You know, the outcome is you get through it faster. You build up this, again, credibility with each other. You build up that emotion, you know, that EQ sort of between each other for yourself, you know, as well, in terms of how you come across, how you're represented. And then again, that then honestly, that experience you just described with Gabriella, the next person to come up on the team, like, she's then going to be able to, you know, pay that forward, be honest with them as well. And that, again, sorts that's a culture builder right there in and of itself.
So there was a moment in time, you may not remember, because what the story she's talking about, where she would not tell us what she was thinking and so forth. And it purposely changed my approach. I don't know if you remember.
You started sending TikToks around.
I think that's exactly
what it was, right?
we started joking with her and making fun, good-natured fun of her, you know, and so that she see we weren't picking at her.
Yeah.
Like, involving her in the joke. Mm-hmm. And then she dared to joke back and saw there wasn't a repercussion. And that just, like, opened Pandora's box, mm-hmm. right? But it was allowing that space to sort of have fun with each other, mm-hmm. And see that it wasn't like
critique.
We're not being critical. We're not really making fun. We're just joking with each other, yeah. and allowing her to joke up, you know,
totally.
Without repercussion, changed that dynamic with her.
And it has totally changed who she is. Mm-hmm. I mean, she's extremely valuable.
The growth in the last year and a half.
Confident.
Absolutely. Yeah. Incredible.
And it's just a microcosm of what can be done on any team, no matter what discipline you have at play. Let's talk about the checks and balances that happen on our new business team. Mm-hmm. Describe some of them from a leadership perspective.
Well, I mean, some of it goes back to the safety network. You know, some of this, because it's happening in real time, it's difficult if you say, hey, the sky is blue and I look outside and it's white. I have to be very careful how I correct you in real time. Mm-hmm. Some of those things you have to let slide if they're not super important. I'm talking about in real time. There are cases when it is so radically different that you do have to correct it, right? So that you don't disinformation the customer. So mm-hmm. you're right. It was blue earlier today. It looks like the clouds are starting to come in, though, which could change the forecast for tomorrow, right?
You still don't throw your team
under the bus, but you have to contextualize it so that you back away from the point they made that isn't quite accurate, right? Mm-hmm. Now, obviously, immediately afterwards, my point, you know, the coaching would begin, right? When you said this, that can't be the case. It's for these reasons. I think, Joe, you said something earlier I just want to go back and visit on. You know, I'm in the trenches. You're in the trenches. You would be hard-pressed to know who is in charge on those calls on the team unless you knew the title, right? I mean, we are interchangeable pieces and parts on the conversations. In most cases, right, I take a back seat purposely to surface the talent. And I think even that speaks volumes for the faith we have in the team, and it's allowed the team to flourish and grow their skills, you know? So I don't know what your thoughts on that are, but.
Yeah, no, I'd agree. It feels very even playing field, you know, and I think we've also, in terms of the EQ, both internally and externally, we've gotten in a pretty good flow where we're able to level the playing field so everybody's safe and comfortable to have a conversation, even with the client, bringing them into that conversation, but also knowing when and identifying ahead of the call when, hey, we're going to need a title here. You know, you're going to need to play a title on this conversation. So literally calling that out ahead of time, really understanding what is going to be the card that needs to play to move the conversation to the next level. And that includes maybe we need to bring a technical expert, subject matter expert in the room to have a conversation.
Yeah, it's a great point. So we haven't, you asked about check and balance. You know, I view this as homework. You know, we are prepared, well prepared for every conversation. We talk about getting prepared. We prepare. We talk about what we prepared. We review what we prepared. We talk about the roles of what's about to happen. We talk about what they might say. And if they say it, what we lead with, right? And when you've done something like that, you go into a game, to use the sports analogy, and you're ready for all eventualities. So nothing surprises you, and it takes a little bit of the nerves out of it because you've already seen this situation.
And to just to demystify what you just described, because that felt like, in my head, as you were saying it, like a lot of meetings. But it wasn't that, right? It's a two-minute phone call before we jump into the next to be like, hey, I heard this over here. Let's talk about that really quickly. It's a couple Slacks, you know, when in a group chat before. Here's the link that they reference. Here's what we're going to review. And here's who's on the call, right? Here's what your roles and responsibilities are. Just some real-time, quick conversations. But prioritizing that knowledge transfer, get everybody on the same page is really critical. And I think that's a muscle we've also developed.
Yeah, there's another element to that, which is, you know, sometimes I call it just-in-time information. You know, there are multiple conversations and multiple people touching prospects and customers. And sometimes something is said on a piece of that tree of the conversation you're not on. And it's really critical that sometimes it's really critical information that was just shared yesterday that only one person heard that changes the trajectory of what we're about to talk about. And again, something we've coached up, if that little kernel sitting over here and you don't put it into the dynamic of the prep, it changes everything. And so we're constantly, is there any latest news? Who had the last conversation? What did they say? Did it change anything from what came before? Because if there is something, we need to rethink what we're about to go talk about.
And think of the responsibility that puts on leadership.
Yeah.
Right? You have to know that it was heard by someone who understands the gravity of that point that was made, and that they effectively communicate it to the right people who need to know that point, and that those people receive it in the way that they need to receive it.
Yeah.
As attuned, it is an extremely complex part of a high-performing team.
Yeah, and you know, Joe, right, I'll say, what did they say, right? Not what do you think they said, what did they say? Play it back, right? Not like literally play, like repeat what they said. They said, what did you think that meant? Okay, you know, and then in the context of a conversation, then we frame up the approach. It makes it fun, right, Joe?
Certainly.
That's what makes it interesting.
Absolutely. I'm running out of minutes. The amount of calls we're getting kind of shorten up, you know, right before the call. Here's this. Gabby, do that. No, it's huge. And I think, again, I said it becomes a muscle. I think there's a tendency to be like, I got the information. You know, I'm here. I'm going to come into this call and whatever happens, happens. But as you mentioned, you have to get that information out to the other people because there's that, you know, begets the trust factor. Number one, they're brought into the conversation or they're not. Number two, if there's this perception on the other side of that Zoom call or the other side of the table, where then it's like, you don't have your stuff together, you know, internally, that leads to a lack of trust now from the client side as well. So again, I think that is something that is built up. Again, a muscle that you just know, I got to make sure you have this information
practice.
We go. It is practice, yeah. And that's, I was going back to the reps, right? It's just we have a volume of these conversations. We insert ourselves into a lot of conversations almost wherever possible. So that allows you to, again, develop those types of skills on a, you know, at a more rapid pace.
This was going to turn it just one more idea. When it doesn't happen, you know, I had a call last week with one on the team, and just because of the speed of things, this call popped up at about 11:30, and I'm like, what the heck is this call about? No prep had occurred. It just slipped through the framework in the process, and you hop it on the call, and you're like, what are we talking about? Where is this?
Feels awful.
What? And I'm messaging on the side, what are we trying to do here? What are they expecting? Because it's impossible to have been able to discern that by just watching their faces, especially when it's virtual. And of course, immediately afterwards, we had a conversation about this, you know, to try to understand how it occurred. But you can, to your point, you can feel it immediately when you have not been prepared, and the customer knows it too.
Well, right? So you picked up on another facet of a high-performing team, and that's the role of process. Where process hasn't been brought up one time in this conversation, but it is the drumbeat of what's happening behind the scenes that allows the team to flourish. It's not the forefront, it's the background. that when it's broken, you feel it. Yeah. But it isn't the core conversation. So describe how process has changed this team.
Yeah, I think we, just for a little bit of background, within the last year, let's call it, we've launched different processes across two different pieces of workflow technologies, Salesforce, Asana. And so there's been a little bit of change management related to that.
A lot of change management,
yeah, for sure. But again, those platforms have also allowed us to use process in a different way and in different ways, multiple different ways to then improve things like communication across, not only across our internal team, but across other project teams, right? Who are touching a certain opportunity, have allowed us to, again, find some efficiency with getting from point A to point Z with respect to new business development from a deliverable production standpoint. So those presentations, those proposals, everybody kind of knows their role because they're tagged in the right places. They're coming in over here. We're setting deadlines. Are those deadlines met all the time? Not always. Let's be clear about that.
But think about it. I mean, how fast can you turn out a proposal now because of our process?
Oh, we can do the same day. I mean, we can do it within a couple hours, if
within
not even
the same
less.
Day.
Yeah. Well, I would.
So it's like those are the things that when your starting point is of high quality and you've got your systems in check, everybody knows which piece of the puzzle
totally
is where, how it all connects to the other pieces. Everyone's clear. The expectations are crystal clear.
I was going to juxtapose that with the absence of such a system or such a platform, right? You can still get to a deliverable that's over here, but who knows how you got there, right? The team doesn't.
And how do you replicate it?
You can't replicate it. You can't scale it. So systems like that allow you to scale your internal operations from a sales and business development standpoint. And if you don't think like that, then yeah, you are going to fall behind, lag behind. You're going to churn out not high quality deliverables that probably don't meet the client's expectation, because that goes back to the checks and balances, chair one, chair two, because here's a deliverable over here, but how awful is it to get to the end
only for that
second person to come in and be like, that's not what they asked for.
So here's a good example of process in the background that came out of a fundamental, flaw, right? You're about to go on break, leave. Last time you went on leave.
Uh-oh.
What?
I don't
know.
No.
Oh, is this dirty laundry time?
Yeah, no, share the truth. Well,
how about a word from our sponsors?
Yeah, right. No, I just, last time you went on leave, there were some pieces because we didn't have a process, right? We didn't talk about, unlocking rooms, and we didn't talk about sharing contact information, and on and on and on, and you're gone. And all of a sudden, it hit us in the face. We don't have a process like this that covers these things. Gathered everybody. Talk through, this cannot happen. This cannot happen like this, right? You get one chance in some cases. If the customer can't get into the room because we don't have the key to get in the room, it looks ridiculous, right? So think about that conversation from 4 or 5 months ago versus the prep that went into this week as you're prepared to leave tomorrow.
Yeah, absolutely.
And think about how prepared we are to cover while you're away because of that discussion 4 or 5 months
ago. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, it allows you to take time off.
Well, that too.
Right? So you guys work so hard, and we all deserve that time away, and we all deserve not to be left holding the bag when you're gone. So it's process doesn't have to be forced. It's meant to solve problems. Yep. And I think part of this high-performing team mentality is the ability to lean into this hard stuff. Let's talk about when things went wrong. Don't shy away from it. Let's figure out what broke. How can we fix it? Almost everything has a solution.
Yeah.
As long as you have that open and honest discussion. Any final thoughts when it comes to leaders' roles in building and maintaining a high-performing, high-functioning team?
Well, I wanted to just call out something that wasn't talked about. And I think it's intentional. And I feel it's intentional. I think it's something that separates what we do from every sort of Twitter business influencer and everybody else, is like, we weren't sitting here talking about, you make X amount of touch points, X amount of calls, like KPI driven, hammering against certain activities, right? We talked so much in this conversation about like the why, about the EQ, about culture, about the environment you're kind of creating, supporting, because a lot of those factors, revenue, things like that, a lot of that comes out of this in a very positive and natural and organic way. That's what I feel. when I look around or look at past experiences, you know, that it was flipped and you got an opposite result. I'm not sitting here saying that's not important. I'm not sitting here saying that that can't help drive you to a certain place. But I think the approach here is that rebel leadership approach. And it is more about creating this environment that, again, begets those types of outcomes naturally. I'm curious what you think about that, Bryn.
So, I mean, numbers are important, right? You know, but they're not what we talk about. They are in the background. You know, they're what we look at when everything else is done. What we're focused on is creating an environment and putting people in situations for them to succeed and coaching them up to their utmost top level of performance.
But, right? But that's crazy, right? I mean, what you just said, right, is they're not part of there in the background, and we get there after we do all these other things on a day-to-day basis, but then you look at what is the data, what's the real story show, and it's
amazing.
Is success, and it is growth, and it is all these things that you otherwise might strive by, like, reaching in the dark for this. I got to hit this metric, and if I do this, I'm going to get that, and it's not the main
motivator of people, what we found.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think, again, I'm focused, we're focused on growth. We're focused on constant improvement. You know, we're focused on, you know, I know this is going to sound a little corny, but not even looking at your job like a job, right? And because when it's done right, it isn't. I have found that if you focus on constantly getting better at everything that you do and all the processes around you, and they're all rising, everything else takes care of itself.
Exactly.
And so that's where the energy is. It's what's once a month I send you the sales number, mm-hmm. and that's it. I don't mm-hmm. even look at it from there.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't remember the last time I looked at the metrics with you. I mean, I have a general, obviously we have a general sense, but it's not what I'm focused on. I can tell by that last call, those mm-hmm. three calls. I mean, I can tell exactly where it is based on everything else that we're working on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good job, coach.
Coaches.
And you're no longer a rookie.
I know, it's true.
Congrats.
Yeah, thanks. Appreciate that.
Thank you.
Thanks for the honest convo, guys.